13, please. Matthew 13. Thanks again for being here with us today and listening. I just think the Holy Spirit may be here today. In fact, I know He is. Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8. Now, the more you talk to me, the quicker we get through this message. Amen? Matthew 13 and Luke 8. And I'll get you out of here in good order, but let's study and study and study if we could. Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8. Again, thanks for coming. If you're from in town, if you're out of town, we appreciate you being here. Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8. Matthew chapter 13, would you look at verse 24 with me? And it says this in verse 24. Another their parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth, what? Say it, everybody. Good seed in his field. Now, the Bible interprets that in, if you would, verse 37. Verse 37. You're holding your place in verse 24. Look at verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the capital S Son of Man. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Verse 38 of Matthew chapter 13. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Let me ask you a question today. Are you a good seed? Amen. Hey, I'm a Christian today. I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to say that I got the good seed. You say, that doesn't sound like good English. In me came the good seed, if you would. Well, I'll show you in a minute. The Bible says the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Let's stop there and go back to verse 24. Look, if you would, at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. That man is Jesus Christ, which sowed good seed. What are the good seed? Well, that's the children of the kingdom. That's Christians. In his field, that's the world. Aren't we glad that in this world there are Christians sown? You say, how do they become Christians? There's another parable in this chapter that shows people how to become Christians. Look at chapter 13, if you would, and look at verse 3. Verse 3, stay right with me. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, the question is, well, what did he sow in the first parable? Look at verse 18, if you would. Verse 18, stay right with me. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. There's two parables here that deals with sowers in Matthew chapter 13, and there's the interpretation of each parable in Matthew chapter 13. The first parable deals with the sower that goes out and sows the seed, which verse 19 says this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. So the seed that's sown in the first parable is the word of God. And by the way, there's no way to become a good seed in the second parable except you accept the good seed in the first parable. Let me say it again. There's no way to become a good seed, that's a Christian, in the second parable without first accepting the good seed that's in the first parable, which is the word of God. Hold your place in Matthew 13 and look at Luke chapter 8. We're holding Matthew 13 and we're looking over at Luke chapter 8 very quickly about the first parable of the sower. You say, man, I'm all confused. Stay with me. We'll try to unconfuse it. There's two parables of the sowers. The seed sown in the first parable is the word of God. And the only way to become, if you would, the good seed in the second parable is to accept the word of God, but there's a way it must be received. Look at chapter 8 of the book of Luke. Look at verse 11, if you would. Verse 11. Now the parable is this, and here's the explanation of the first parable of Matthew chapter 13. The seed is the what? The word of God. Say it again. The seed is the what? The word of God. Well, let me say this. He says this, sanctify him through thy word. Thy word is what? The word of God is true. Is that right? So the seed that's sown is the truth. And the truth shall set us free. Is that right? There's only one way to be set free, and that's by believing the truth. And the truth is in the Word of God. And when we believe the truth of the Word of God, we have the opportunity to be the good seed or Christian in the second parable. Would you agree with that? Verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Well, what happens to happen to that seed? We're only going to look at verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. Look at it. Luke 8, 15. You're doing well. But that on the good ground. What do you mean that? The good seed. The seed is the Word of God. When the Word of God hits good ground, well, what's the good ground? But that on the good ground, verse 15, are they which in an honest and good heart. It's an honest look at ourselves. It's a good heart that allows the truth of the Word of God to come in, and planted on good ground, that Word of God grows and we become a Christian. Is that right? But it's got to be on an honest and a good heart. We have to take a good look at ourselves, and when the Word of God hits, repentance will hit also on good ground. Would you agree with that? But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, what do we do with it? We keep it. And bring forth what? Fruit with patience. So the seed in the Word of God, which is the truth, falls on good ground, an honest and good heart. It stays on that ground, and it springs up and starts bearing fruit, but you have to be patient for the fruit to be born. Is that right? Go back to Matthew chapter 13. Stay right with me. Don't miss it now. Watch. Now we'll go back to Matthew 13, and notice, if you would, verse 23. Still talking about the first parable. The seed is the Word of God. It's going to fall on good ground, Matthew 13, 23. But he that receiveth seed, the truth, the Word of God, into good ground, a good and honest heart, is he that heareth the Word, and understandeth it, which also beareth, say it, fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. It bears different ratios of fruit, if you would. Now let's drop down to the next parable. Look at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, Jesus Christ, which soweth good seed, his children, who've accepted the Word of God on good ground. They've accepted the truth and kept it, and it's bare fruit. It's saved them, if you would. They've received it as Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So they're sown, if you would, as Christians in the field, the world. But verse 25, watch. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. Uh-oh, stop in verse 25. Let's go get the interpretation. Go over to verse 38. Verse 38. But the tares are the children of the who? The wicked one. So there's wheat and there's tares. The wheat are children of the Son of Man, or if you were the children of the kingdom, or if you were the children of God. But there are tares, and those tares are the children of the wicked one, or 1 John says, children of the devil. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Let's go back to verse 25. Stay with me. Verse 25. While men slept, they weren't watching. They were asleep. His enemy, the devil, came and sowed tares. Hey, children of the devil. Or let me say another way, among the wheat and went his ways. A tare is a weed that looks like wheat. I grew up in Ohio. I grew up in a farming community. I worked out on the farms. At 13, I was out hoeing weeds in thistle patches and everything, and combining wheat at 14 and 15. I spent many days in the wheat field. You can look out over a field, and if you don't have a trained eye, you won't see the tares from the wheat. They look very similar. What's the difference? The wheat comes up, and there's fruit at the top of the wheat stalk. It's what you make bread out of. It's food. It's useful. You know what's at the top of the tare? Something that kind of similarly looks like at the top of the wheat, but there's no fruit. It's useless. It's a weed. Are you with me? Now look up here. You say, well, what does the stalks do? One comes up and there's fruit at the top of the stalks, and one comes up and the tares, there's nothing. It's not what's going on at the top of the ground. It's what's going on underneath the ground that's the problem. It's what you can't see that's the problem. Because the root system of the tare choke off the root system of the wheat. And it entangles itself down there. The work that's being done in a negative way is under the ground, and it doesn't allow the wheat to grow up where the roots of the tares are, because it messes up the ground because it's weeds. Are we with me okay? You say, I'm not getting this. Well, let me give it to you in a spiritual manner. The wheat believe the truth. The tares believe a lie. Well, how do we know that? Who sows the tares? The devil. And the devil is a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of all lies. Is that right? Come on, talk to me. So the devil sows lies. You say, well, what was the first lie he told? The first lie he told was to himself. I will be like the Most High. That's the first lie he ever told. And he told it to himself, and he believed his own lie. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? So let's look at it again. Stay with me. Look what he says. We see this in verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, say it, fruit, then appeared the tares also. Let's back up to verse 25. While men slept, the devil came. His enemy, whose enemy? The Jesus Christ's enemy, the devil came. And sowed tares, no fruit, looks like wheat, appears to be wheat, looks like the truth, but is actually a lie. A tare is based on a lie, is that right? Yes or no? Among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, now you see what's going to happen, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So now you have in the field, you have saved people and lost people. Some believe the truth and are saved. Others do not believe the truth and are lost. Would you agree with that? Look, if you would, a little bit further with me, and notice verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, who's the sir there? Jesus. Jesus, did not thou sow good seed? Didn't you put your children in the field, the world? From whence then, hath it tares? Hey, Lord, didn't you come and sow the truth? And didn't people believe the truth? And then they become Christians and good seed in the world. Where did these lies, where did these untruths, where did these people who believe these lies, where did these tares come from? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. You know what he said? The devil did it. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? Jesus said, here's the answer, Satan did that. The servants said unto him, you say, who are the servants? Are you a servant as a Christian? The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Hey, Lord, do you want us to go and get rid of the tares? Lord, do you want us to get rid of the tares? Verse 29. But he said what? No. No. You know why? Because we servants sometimes can't tell the tares from the wheat. Because we can't see what's in the heart. Come on, look at me. Hey, you want us to go get rid of the tares? No. Lest while ye, servants, gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. He says, you do that and you'll mess up Christianity. Come on, yes or no? Isn't that what it says? Hey, Lord, you want us to just take care of everything down here for you? We'll get rid of the tares. We'll get rid of all these lies. No. No. Because when you do that, you'll pull up some wheat too. You can't see, you can't always tell the difference between a tare and a wheat. You're just servants. I tell you, are we okay already so far? He says this, look what he says. Go on, no, don't you do it. Verse 30. Let both grow. Would you say the next word? You mean sometimes they're both going to grow together? Hey, you're living in a city right now, wheat, that's got a bunch of tares in it. Hey, wheat! Hey, church! You're living in a city that's got a bunch of tares in it. We're going to coexist in some way, shape, or form. I didn't say we're going to be like them. We're wheat. We're supposed to bear fruit. Come on, is that right? But we're not supposed to let their roots entangle our roots and mess us all up. We're not supposed to let their lies mess up our truth. Because truth is what bears fruit. And the more we use the fruit, the more we use the truth, the more fruit at the top of the wheat stalk. We still all right? Look what he says, stay with me. Let both of them grow together. Until the harvest. Okay, wait a minute. What's the harvest? Verse 39. The harvest is the end of the world. While you're there, you might as well see who the reapers are. What are they going to do? They're going to reap the harvest. Who are the reapers? The angels. Verse 30. We all still all right? let both grow together, the tares and the wheat, the truth and the lies, until the harvest, until the end of the world. And in the time of the harvest, the end of the world, I will say to the reapers, the angels, gather ye together first the tares, the untruth, and bind them in bundles. To do what? Burn them. Why? Because there's no fruit. There's no use for them. They were just tares. I never knew ye. Come on, we still all right? But gather the wheat. Where are we going? Going to the barn, amen. Is that right? You say, where's the barn? I think the barn's in heaven. So the reapers are going to come, and they're going to take the tares, those that didn't believe the truth, and they're going to bind them in bundles and burn them. But the wheat, the ones that are bearing fruit, that left the truth of the Word of God fall on good ground in a good heart, and it stayed there, and it repented that heart, and that heart was made new, and it bore fruit, those Christians are heading for the barn. To be with the barn owner. That's not in there, but that's implied. Amen. Now, okay, wait a minute. I don't get this yet. All right? Look at verse 40. As therefore the tares, those that believe a lie, are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man, Jesus, shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do what? Say it. Iniquity. What's iniquity? Sin. Believing a lie, practicing a lie, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says this, iniquity and sin is a transgression of the law. Is that right? Verse 42, what's going to happen there? And shall cast them into a, say it, furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where's the furnace of fire? First, it's in a holding place called hell, then hell is delivered up into the lake of fire. That's the furnace, is that right? We okay still? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Who's the righteous shining forth as the sun? That's the wheat. In the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? Hey, the only way we can hear that we can understand is by the Word of God. Is that right? And He says, hey, if you have ears to hear, if you have understanding, let him hear. Let him understand. Well, let me ask you a question, brethren. Do you understand? Let's go a little further. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You're doing great. Stay right with me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you say, man, I'm still back on the first parable. Stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There are those that are used of the devil to sow the bad seed. You say, I didn't see anything about bad seed. Good seed is the Word of God. Is that right? Good seed of the first parable produces the good seed of the children of God of the second parable. Would you agree? Well, then, would you agree this? The tares are produced by bad seed. The tares are produced by lies. Would you agree with that? Come on. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 13. You're doing well. For such are false, what? Apostles. Deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What is he saying? They're going to look like wheat. They may even act like wheat, but they're tares. They may look like they have the truth. They may act like they have the truth. They might even give you a half-truth. They might even name the name of Christ, but they're bad seed. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their what? Works. You mean there's actually people down here sowing lies? Sowing bad seed?
Hey, why are we going out in July with ladies soul winning, with street preaching, with teen blitz, with men soul winning, with bus ministry? We're going out to sow the good seed of the Word of God so more children are produced, so good seed populate this earth, so the Word of God travels through this earth, so God's kingdom has something to gather into the barn. If we don't do it, the tares will take over the field. You plow the field up. If you don't, and you just let it lie barren, the tares take over. Well, once the tares take over, can the wheat grow? The roots are all under the ground. There's no place for the wheat to take hold. So we've got to keep sowing truth. Is that right? Stay with me now. Let's go a little further. Look at Matthew 23. This makes sense, doesn't it? Somebody says, I lost you a long time ago. Stay with me. Matthew 23. You're doing well. Let me show you a false apostle. Let me show you a group that Jesus Christ spoke about. We'll just a couple scriptures. Matthew 23. Look at verse 13. Stay with me. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Say it. Say it again, everybody. Hypocrites. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You say, what is he saying? He's saying you're closing the barn door. You're not opening the barn door. You're closing it. You don't even know where the barn is. You think you do, but you're shutting it up. For ye neither, hey, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, ye neither go in yourselves. You're not going to the barn. Neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. You're not going to heaven, and you're not letting them go to heaven either. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a what? Say it. You pretend like you're wheat, but you're actually tares. You pretend like you're teaching the truth, but you're actually teaching lies. You pretend like you're the good seed, but you're actually bad seed. Come on, are we all right? For a pretense makes long their prayers. Therefore, ye shall receive the, say it, greater damnation. Ooh. You mean there's damnation and greater damnation? Evidently, those people who lead people astray and teach them lies and sow tares and sow bad seed, God's got a greater degree of damnation for them. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass, you walk around sea and land to make one proselyte, one convert. And when he is made, ye make him twofold. You make him twice more the child of hell than yourselves. They're twice as bad. They're twice more the children of the devil than you are. Isn't that what it says? Hey, if Jesus was here to set our example, then we ought to be standing up and saying there's still scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites and false apostles in the world today that are sowing bad seed and making people twice the child of the devil that they are. Are we all right with that? Now, should I name names? Should I name groups? Should we identify the false prophets? Should we tell you who's sowing lies? Should we tell you who look like wheat but are actually tares? Let's just talk about their doctrine. Throw the people's names out for a moment. Let's just talk about their doctrine and what they believe. Stay with me. Let me tell you a tare doctrine. Let me tell you a doctrine that bears no fruit. Let me tell you a doctrine that's not going to the barn. Jesus and Satan were brothers. That's what they say. You say, who says that? Look up here. Mormon doctrine. Mormon, look up here, Mormon doctrine. Don't think I said all Mormons, because I don't know what's in their heart. I am a servant and I can't tell the tares from the wheat. Somebody says, I don't think you ought to say that. Study your Bible! At the judgment seat of Christ, you'll find out there were tares and there were wheat.
There was truth and there was lies. And you're responsible as a Christian to know the truth. We're not playing around with this ecumenical stuff. There's truth and there's lies. There's wheat and there's tares. There's those that go to the barn and those that are burned, and that's what the book says. I can't see what's in their hearts, but I can tell you the Mormon doctrine is a doctrine that says you will be gods. And it's a lie. And you work your way there. You say, well, I know some Mormons and they're good people. Look up here. I'm talking about doctrine. What have you believed in your heart? A truth or a lie? Come on, we all right? It always bothers me when someone just, you know, I'm out of here. Why would somebody want to do that if they want to bear fruit? If it's a good and honest heart, it'll listen. And want to know the truth. Well, I don't think you ought to be putting people down. Jesus said, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you're making them twice more the child of the devil than you are. So let's just shut our mouths and not say anything and watch this world turn into tares. No way. Stand aloud. Proclaim the truth. Put the good seed into the ground and let's get some into the barn. Stand on those street corners and proclaim the truth. And let's gather some into the barn. Knock on those doors, lady, and put the seed and the Word of God at that place when they open that door. And if it's a good and honest heart, watch them turn in from tares to wheat. We getting the picture? I'm okay, you're okay. Why rock the boat? The enemy is already sowing lies today. If we go to sleep, he'll keep sowing. Come on. He's not going to stop sowing. Stay with me. We all right still? Look a little further with me, and let's go to Revelation 12. Because it's not just going on the earth. Revelation 12. You mean there's lies being sown in heaven? Revelation chapter 12. I say, wait a minute, preacher. Are there other false prophets out there? I'm glad you asked. Come on, Revelation 12. And by the way, look up here. Some of the people in this church used to be Mormon. And they have the truth now. Talk to them before you get mad.
Amen.
They're glad they got the truth.
Amen.
Some of the people in this church used to believe that Jesus is a God. And then they got the truth.
Amen.
Were you a JW? Right there.
Amen.
Former Jehovah's Witnesses that used to believe that one little word A that they stuck in there that turned the truth into a lie.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus is God.
Amen.
Not Jesus is a God. That's a lie. Jesus is God. Is that right? Somebody said, well, show me where it says, you know, that they're all one. The Godhead. It's in the book. There's three. They are one. So he got the truth, and the truth set him free. He looked like wheat, but he was a tare. Where was he going?
Hell.
Which they teach there isn't any. That's convenient so more people will believe the tear story. Then he decided that on good ground, on a good and honest heart, the Word of God came in and he received it, and not with joy, he kept it and is bringing forth fruit, and he's sitting on the front row of an independent Baptist church saying, that used to be me! Glad you're sitting there this morning, brother.
You know there's doctrine out there that teaches if you go to church on Sunday, you've taken the mark of the beast? You say, I've never heard that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the doctrine out there. If you go to church on Sunday, you've taken the mark of the beast. You say, who believe that? Most of them don't know they believe it, but if you search their doctrine, they do. Say Seventh-day Adventist. Come on, is that right? Well, I know Seventh-day Adventists, and they don't believe that. That's because they don't know their doctrine.
That's right.
But ask them to come to church with you on Sunday. If they're a true Seventh-day Adventist, they'll say, I'm busy. You didn't get marked today. Come on. We know the truth. Nothing wrong with assembling ourselves together on the first day of the week. I think they did that somewhere in the Bible. Come on. Are we all right? Let's look at Revelation 12. Or should we go look at something else down here? Should we talk about more false prophets and false doctrine down here? Why are you exposing it? Because there's wheat and there's tares. There's truth and there's lies. And everybody in here needs to search your own heart out, because I can't go around and say, who's the tares? Who's the wheat? Who's the tares? Who's the wheat? Who's the tares? He said, don't you do that. Lest you pull up some wheat thinking it's tares. He said the angels will do that, and they know exactly what they're doing. They're trained better. The reapers are always trained better to do that than the servants. We all right, Phil? Should I say it? When you pray, pray to God, not to Mary. Mary didn't die for your sins. She never, ever expected anybody to pray to her. That's a tear doctrine. Who spreads that? False prophets. Forbidding to marry. We say, what's the scripture before that? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from meats. Come on, we all right? But you say, now, are all of them lost? I don't know. I'm a servant. I can't tell the wheat from the tares. I'm just supposed to go out and put the truth out. And so are you. And so are we. As you go out on your right, there's traps. Load them up. Hey, let's get the seed out of the barn. You say, where's that scripture? Back in the Old Testament. I thought we were born to the barn. We are. And the seed comes from the barn. Now, what was the seed? The seed is the Word of God. Where's the barn? The barn's in heaven. You mean there's seed from the barn that comes down here that we plant that bears forth wheat that takes us back to the barn? That's right. Come on, is that right? You say, well, let me ask you a question. What kind of, where do you get the good seed that comes off the wheat? And you plant more seed and it bears more wheat. Well, that's another story. All right? We all right? Come on. Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 12. There's lies in heaven, too. I'm watching your time. 10 minutes, we'll be done, Lord willing. Keep talking to me or go fast. Revelation 12. Look at verse 3. You're doing where? Well, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Who's that? Satan. Having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. We'll not bear that out. But look what he does in verse 4. And his tail, who, that red dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and then cast them to the earth. Who are those stars? Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the who? Say it. The devil. And Satan, the father of lies, the enemy that sows seed to produce tares in the field, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his, say it, evidently somebody else was deceived. His angels were cast out with him. Who are the angels? Verse 4. And his tail, the devil, drew the third part of the stars. The stars are angels. You can refer back to Revelation chapter 1 of heaven. You mean there are angels that actually were deceived? Where are they? What's going on? I don't understand. What's going on with all these that are deceived and some are coming down and some are this and some are that? Well, we know this. Whether you can get it all figured out this morning or not, look at the book of Jude. We're just going back one book. You're in Revelations. Go back. If you see Revelations 1, you'll see the book of Jude on the other page. Jude. You'll not get it all figured out this morning, but look at verse 6. Verse 6. Were some deceived in heaven? Absolutely. And the angels, which kept not their what? Say it. First estate. What was their first estate? Heaven. But left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Now, brethren, the chains are not in the lake of fire. The chains are in hell. Separate the two. Hell is a holding place. It's a prison. And hell will be delivered up. That will be let out of prison. Then what? Then the final sentence, the final punishment, into outer darkness, into the lake of fire. We all right with that? Watch, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until when? The judgment of the great day. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Now you're going to go John, and then you go into 2 Peter chapter 2. Stay with me. 2 Peter chapter 2. You're doing well. Almost done. 2 Peter chapter 2. Not only is there deception on the earth, there's deception in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 4. For if God spared not the... Say it. Wait a minute. What did those angels do? Iniquity, is that right? For if God spared not the angel of that sin... Wait a minute. When those angels, the good angels, not these fallen angels, but when the angels come that are reapers, they're going to look around and see who still has iniquity charged to them. And they're going to reap those that still have iniquity charged to them, and they're going to gather them into bundles to burn them. Is that right? And these are angels that sinned. They broke God's law. Is that right? Sin is a transgression of the law on earth, and sin is a transgression of the law in heaven. Come on, yes or no? Sin is a transgression of the law, and it's called iniquity on earth, and sin is a transgression of the law in heaven, it's called iniquity up there too. And these angels sin, but cast them down to, say it, hell. That's the holding place. Delivered them into chains of darkness, and why? To reserve unto judgment. Look, if you would, at Matthew 25. Come on, coming on down. Two more scriptures left. Hang in there. You're doing well. Matthew 25. Why are we going out? Why do we get the seed out of the barn? Why is there a soul winning effort? Matthew 25. Watch now, you're there. Matthew 25. Look at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left. There's some on the right. There's some on the left. Would you agree with that? Which side do you want to be on? I want to be on the wheat side. Amen? Stay with me. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. Or we could say this, ye tares, or ye that believed a lie, or ye that didn't receive the truth, into everlasting fire. But notice what he said. Prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for mankind. God's not willing that any should perish. He would like everybody to become wheat. He'd like everybody to believe the truth. That is His will. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Whosoever will may come.
Amen.
The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whosoever. You say, well, you know what I'll do? Here's what I'll do. Listen to me. Listen to me, preacher. Here's what I'll do. I'm a tear now. I don't believe. But I'll turn into a wheat and turn better. Then I'll receive Christ. Doesn't work that way. Everybody starts out as a tear. For all have sinned. And there's only one way to become a wheat. It's through Jesus Christ. Not our works, His work upon the cross. Well, what do? Receive and believe. Accept, apply the blood, and He makes us into wheat. What do? We take the Word of God in on a good and honest heart, and we keep it. We hold it. We think on it. We meditate on it. And He does the work. How does it grow? I don't know. He gives the increase. Come on, is that right? It's His work on the cross. All we do is receive it, believe it, accept it, and then it does its work. But there's got to be a good and honest heart. We can't play games with it. Well, I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to look like a Christian. I'm going to look like wheat. We can't tell. We're just servants. We, you and I, have to look into our own hearts to make sure that we didn't believe a lie. That we didn't get the bad seed that was sown by the enemy. Otherwise, Matthew chapter 7, and we're done. Matthew 7, and we're finished. Matthew 7. Won't be long, Christians. We'll be going to the barn. Down south, they say, let's go to the house. Let's go to the house. Hey, meet me at the barn, amen? Nothing wrong with the house. House of God. Father's house. There are many mansions there. Matthew 7, watch, verse 21. Thank you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. You see, a terror could say, Lord, Lord. The devils believe and tremble. Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because somebody says, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean they're going to the barn. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will? To receive the seed of the truth of the Word of God on a good heart. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't we preach in your name? Yeah, so the Pharisees. And in thy name have cast out devils. You know what? I got to tell you something. Not all those guys on TV are spreading the truth. Let me say something else. Not all those gals on TV are spreading the truth either. Be careful what you say. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Well, oh, look at those four words. I never knew you. You were never spiritually born again. You never turned into wheat. I don't know you. Where's my son's name on you? There's only one door. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work, say it, iniquity. Well, where do those with iniquity and sin go? They go to hell, into the place where there are chains reserved unto the judgment day. And the Bible says in Revelation that death and hell were delivered up. Look up here. And cast into outer darkness, into the lake of fire where their worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. I don't know what else I can say. But I could say this. Look up there. You've got to look in your own heart. I can't. You must. You know what would be good? You've got a loved one you care about. We're sending you this tape because we love you. All we're asking you to do is look in your heart. We've prayed for you for a long time. We don't know what's in there. We don't know if you believe the lie or the truth, but we want you to believe the truth. And if you're not sure,
We'll take a Bible and show you how to be sure. You can get the Word of God by yourself. You can study it. You can read it. And if it's you got a good and honest heart, that seed of the Word of God will plant in there, and it will become fruit bearing like wheat. And when the reapers come, they'll be able to tell the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares. They know. One of these days, saved child of God, we'll be in the barn together. Until that time, we've got work to do. How does the Son of Man sow his seed? Through our hands. How does he put the word out? He gives us the opportunity to do it. If we don't cry out, he could have had the rocks cry out. But he decided to let us do the work with him as laborers in his harvest. You say, well, I'll do that when we get to the fall. How about July? Street preaching or ladies soul winning or bus ministry or men's soul winning or Wednesday night or Teen Blitz soul winning or you name it. We got it. Or how about none of those, but you just put some tracts in your pocket and look for people to give them to during the day. Or how about some of those and you take tracts anyways and give them out. Get the seed out. You mean somebody could get saved by a tract? Anybody in here get saved by a tract? I got saved as a result of a tract. I'm glad somebody had some seed in his pocket. And just when I walked by, I just gave it to him. I took the seed home, threw it up on the shelf. But it didn't go bad. When I pulled it down 2 months later, it was still powerful. When I read it, it was still powerful. You never know what the Lord could do. Because the Lord of the harvest works in mysterious ways. We just want to be part of it. Today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, look into your own heart. And we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Some of us know that we're weak. We know it. That's not arrogant. That's faith. That's believing. How many of y'all know you're weak? Hold them up. Right. And put them down. If you don't know for sure, we can't tell. We can only show you how to become saved. And we'd love to do that this morning. If you're already saved, let's decide we're going to get busy this summer to get the seed out of the barn. You're saying that the barn's in heaven, but there's another scripture in the Old Testament say, let's get that seed out of the barn and into the field. Amen. With our heads bowed. Don't leave. And our eyes closed. Please, don't leave. Maybe you are looking at your heart and you're honest and genuine and you couldn't raise your hand to say, hey, I'm a wheat. I'm not sure, you say. All right, thank you for being honest. We're not putting you down. We're trying to help you. I'm not sure if I receive Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure if I've confessed my sin, the transgression of God's law, the breaking of God's law. I'm not sure if I've done that. And I'm not sure if I've received Christ as my Savior, applying the blood of Christ for my sins by faith. I'm not sure I've done that. I'm not sure I even understand that. I'm not sure. Don't believe a lie. Don't convince yourself you are. Look into your own heart. Only you can see what's in your own heart. And if you want some help, let us take the Bible and show you what the Scriptures say and work with you to make sure. Be honest. Be genuine. Let me pray for you, please. If you're not sure, be honest. Be genuine. Be sincere. I'm very sincere about what I'm saying. If you're not sure, I won't point you out. But please, allow me the privilege, the honor, to pray with you just for a couple moments. If that's you and you're not sure, would you slip up your hand right now and say, that's me. Just put them up and put them down, and then I'll know, yes, someone else. Thank you for your honesty. Put them up, put them down, not sure. Father, please. Do your will. We know what your will is, Lord, that all should be saved, that none should perish. So please draw these to yourself. And for us, Lord, that understand, may we be busy putting the seed out so when the reapers come, there's wheat to be reaped. We know the enemy, Father, is going to work. Please help us to get the seed into the hands of those that have a good and honest heart. Use us. Please. Please. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet without leaving? Stand to your feet without leaving. Could I ask you and could I enlist you Christians this morning for this? Look up here, please. Would you pray this morning?